Of course, as you know, day one of NCAA March Madness. Today, the men's tournament began, and tomorrow, the women get their start. And out of both tournaments, the only local team with a number one seed is the Maryland women. But for most people, the men are getting all the attention, and that has a lot of us asking whether the women's tournament should be moved, perhaps to keep the men from stealing the thunder. USA Today sports columnist Christine Brennan wrote about that. She joins us live here in the studio. We're so happy to have you here. You know, I'm scratching my head because, as you point out, tens of millions of American women and girls love to play sports, and that, of course, includes basketball. They're dashing out to watch their girls play in games, and yet we don't get the attention that the men do.
Debbie, Mark, it's absolutely, it's a fascinating issue, and I decided to delve into it because here we are where this one tournament, the men's, just blocks out the sun. And the women's game is as great as it's ever been. Because of Title IX, today is the best day in women's basketball in terms of talent and skill and coaching until tomorrow, and that will be the best day ever. And yet, almost no one is paying attention. You know, you hear the word bracket, you hear the word tournament, you hear the word office pool, singular. No, there are two. But to me, the only answer here is for the NCAA to basically say, we've got to move the women's tournament, as you alluded to. And my suggestion in the column was to move it to entirely before the men's, so that you'd play the women's final on the Sunday night after the men's selection show. Women are completely finished before the men start. And none other than Brenda Fries, of course, the great coach at Maryland, the number one seed.
Yeah.
I talked to her about this, and she's very smart, and she gets it, and very tech savvy, and she's absolutely for something different and something new.
I feel like this conversation has been going on for decades. Yeah. I mean, I can remember sitting at the women's ACC tournament, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s. You look around you for the title game. I remember being there for Maryland, Virginia, you know, what, 1,200, 1,300 fans in the stands. Great basketball is being played. Does just the schedule change hit the issue here? Does that bring the spotlight? I mean, ESPN is showing the title game now, so you do have national coverage. What does it take to get it to where you want to see it?
Mark, I am not sure that just by changing the schedule, the women's game would elevate to a place that we might all hope and everyone who has a daughter or a niece playing basketball or a girl next door would hope for. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But the answer right now is we have no idea how great that this tournament can be and how high it could soar, because it's being held down by the fact that it is going up against one of the great cultural things in our country, not just sports. I mean, the men's tournament, the brackets, the everything about this March Madness is right up there with the Super Bowl now.
It's like it doesn't have a chance.
Right. It absolutely doesn't have a chance. And it's incumbent on the NCAA, in my mind, as the steward, we want girls and women to play sports and have these opportunities. It's incumbent on the NCAA, to me, to come up with an idea. And I had one. There are several others in the column.
So how does that happen? How does the NCAA grab a hold of something like that, an alternative thinking outside the box type of thing?
I think it says to its old guard, that the committee structure, hey, we're doing something new and different. This is not working. Val Ackerman, who was the WNBA commissioner, now the commissioner of the Big East, did a white paper. She gave them three different ideas. And her point, which I thought was great, try it. Do something different. What do you have to lose? And I think the NCAA needs to move, and needs to move quickly, because this is such a great opportunity to showcase women and girls through Title IX, and it's being missed. I will say, though, here in this city, with WTOP covering the Maryland women with so much interest, I think here we're seeing the best of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But the rest of the country isn't getting that chance.
And absolutely. I think the other part of it, the reason I mentioned fans in the stands, is I think fans also have a role to play. I think you have to demand, you know, to see either a schedule change or something that gets it more into the spotlight, so that you, if you do want to watch it or you do want to participate more, you get that opportunity.
Well, and I do think that's a good point. I mean, all these parents out there with kids playing sports, you know, buy tickets and go. I mean, that's not my job. I'm a journalist. But at some point, you do need to support this. Now, altruism doesn't sell tickets as much as pure entertainment value. So people want to watch the men more than the women. But if you've got a daughter, the greatest role models for your girl playing sports are these women in college playing sports as well. And I'm guessing in the next 20, 30 years, hopefully we'll be around to see it, we will see a very, very different landscape from the presidency on down in terms of what Title IX is going to create moving forward. We're still in the infancy of Title IX, and that is, of course, part of the issue. Another decade or two from now, when the 10-year-old today is 50, what is that world going to look like? I think it'll be very different. I think it'll be a positive change.
Terrific stuff. Christine, thanks for bringing it to our attention.
My pleasure. Thank you.
As she says, to grow the NCAA women's tournament, you got to move it. USA Today sports columnist, Christine Brennan.